This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, I'm Carrie Lippert-Gillespie, and this is The Homestand, the official podcast of the Kansas City Royals. Each episode, we'll bring on a guest to connect you in a fun, new, exciting way to the Kansas City Royals. Make sure you subscribe so you never miss a thing. All right, we're excited to welcome our guest for today's episode, Jonathan Heasley. How are you doing?
Good. How are you? Happy to be on.
Yeah.
Excited.
What do you think of our set here?
It's pretty nice. I wasn't expecting it to be like this official when I walked in, so I kind of feel a little nervous. I've never done a podcast with like all the lighting and all the cameras and stuff.
Sure.
So we'll see how it goes, but yeah. I'm excited.
So anyone who's listening to this only, we are in the Hall of Fame. Have you been back
here? I have been in here. We came... Like the year we got drafted, we had an orientation here and they like kind of brought us through and showed us everything. So pretty cool.
How cool is it that you have two like current teammates?
Yeah, that's pretty
right
crazy.
Here off camera. We have Salvi and Zach Greinke. We have their jerseys and they have a bunch of stuff here on the wall. So you get to play literally with two legends.
It's pretty crazy. Pretty special, especially just like with, I don't know. It's kind of at the beginning, especially last year, like pitching my first game to Salvi, I was just kind of starstruck, honestly. It's pretty crazy. And then we signed Greinke. So hearing like he was coming in spring training, just wild to have two guys that have done such amazing things and continue to do so. So it's pretty cool and pretty special to be on like the same pitching staff with a guy who's done what Greinke has, and then to be able to have Salvi behind the plate. It's just crazy, special for sure.
Yeah, two legends and, you know, two people who like you can learn a lot from each of their positions. You know, obviously have to interact with Salvi as a pitcher, and then Greinke, you know, is the same position as you. So it's not even just like they're legend and they're random outfielders. Like they are specifically like people that you interact with and what you do.
Yeah, it's crazy. Just like sit in the dugout and have Greinke over there, you know, just talking about hitters and all kinds of stuff. Just the experience and knowledge that both of them have. I remember like my first scouting meeting with Salvi, just listening to him just rattle off all the information, and it's just like he's been catching and seeing these same hitters for 13, 14 years, however long it's been. So just crazy. And then Greinke, who's pitched for 17 or 18 now, I don't even know, has like 500 starts. It's just insane. Like I'm over here trying to get to like 100 innings. And he's got, it's just crazy.
We all got to start somewhere. So.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But I was talking to Lynch yesterday, actually, in the dugout, just like, it's crazy to think about like how my arm, like, you know, it's just like, there's no way at 40 years old, like 38, that I'm going to be able to be doing this. It's just crazy to think about. But I guess that's why they're few and far between. They don't come around often like that. So it's crazy, but very cool to be alongside them for sure.
Well, you got a while till 38, like Greinke. You're 25.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know how he does it.
Yeah.
It's like, I got to figure out what you do to be able to do it that long.
There you go. Well, I want to reverse a little bit and talk about what you were like as a child growing up in Plano, Texas. For anyone who doesn't know, Plano is like North Dallas. And I know that you are still really into like football in that area and your college football team, but tell us what it was like growing up in Texas.
Yeah, so I was actually born in North Carolina, but like moved before I even remember anything. And then pretty much know Texas is all I've known. So I'm a proud Texan. Some people hate it, but it is what it is. But yeah, I love Plano, grew up there, older brother, older sister. So I was the youngest. Great family. Grew up there. Went to Preston Wood Christian Academy, a school there in Plano. Played football and baseball there in high school. A lot of good friends, a lot of lifelong friends, you know, and families there that I grew up with, just playing sports and everything. But yeah, sports was kind of always my thing growing up. You know, I played football. I remember playing flag football, basketball, baseball always were pretty much the main three. And then I kind of just went more towards football and baseball in high school, and then just kind of decided I liked baseball more. Football was awesome. Nothing better than a Friday night, but I just felt like baseball, I just loved pitching and just kind of everything that came along with it. So that was awesome. But yeah, growing up in Plano was great. Our family kind of settled in there. We were there for a while, and now my brother and sister are all over the place. My sister and her husband are in Florida, and then my brother and his wife are in Colorado, so we're kind of all over the place
now. Two great places to have family to go visit.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, so we're spoiled with that, but my parents are still in Dallas area, so they're kind of traveling all over the place trying to keep up with everybody, but yeah, that's pretty much the Heasley family story right there.
I love that. I'm not surprised to hear that you played football. You, in my opinion, you are built like a football player. Like you could be, I feel like you could be a tight end or something like that. So I'm not surprised to hear that.
Yeah, I was a receiver. I was a little skinnier back in high school. I was probably like 40 pounds skinnier. So I was a little quicker to be a receiver. But yeah, now probably more of a tight end build, maybe something like that. But I don't think I could do it. Seeing those guys in the NFL, they're way too big. But
yeah.
Yeah, I had a little more speed than I do now.
Okay.
A little less
weight.
Didn't
we all? Don't we all?
Yeah, exactly.
Tell us some about college. Oklahoma State, correct?
Oklahoma State, yep. So I committed to Oklahoma State out of high school, actually, with like two of my really good buddies that I played with growing up, which was really cool. Both of them are still pretty good friends now. One of them actually moved to Oklahoma, but the other one's still in Plano area. And then Oklahoma State, also where I met my wife, so that's pretty special. Met her there my sophomore year, just kind of through some mutual friends. Guy on the baseball team and his girlfriend were roommates, and then we just kind of met through some mutual friends and kind of hit it off, and here we are today. So that's a pretty special part of Oklahoma State, but enjoyed my time there. 2 years of baseball, really good. Not the best performance wise necessarily, but I had a great time and met a lot more friends there that I was able to build good relationships with, and obviously learned a lot just about the game and kind of developed a little bit there, and gave me the opportunity to be where I am today. So very thankful for everything that happened there, and obviously college is just like a super special experience, and I'm glad that I did it, you know.
Now, I've been asking some of the other guys when they come on the show when it hit them that they could be a professional, because you ask a lot of little kids when they're, you know, 6, 7 years old and their dream is to be a professional football player, basketball player. And I'm sure you had that dream too, but when do you get to the point? And it's funny because they've all had different answers of like when they realized it could be possible for them. So do you have a moment where you had a killer game or something like that and you were all of a sudden just like, I might be able to get paid to do this actually?
Yeah, it wasn't like super early on, honestly. Like you can, my parents too, I was okay, but I was never really like that good. I was just kind of average, whatever. I was never like on the best like club team or whatever growing up. And then I think it was when I was like 14 or 15, one of my coaches actually was like, told my parents like, hey, you need to maybe start investing in this a little more. Like, I think he could be pretty good. Like, he has a chance to be good. And I was like, all right, like whatever. And didn't really think much about it. And then I just kind of started throwing harder and harder. And I think it was like my summer before my sophomore year, I got invited to like one of those showcase things. Yeah. And I was like, oh, this is sweet. Like, whatever. And that was the first time I hit 90, and it was like a huge deal. And I was like, okay, like, and then like, that's when college coaches started reaching out and stuff. And I was like, okay, like maybe this has a chance. And then kind of just kept getting stronger and throwing a little bit harder. And then the interest kind of grew more, and that was kind of it. I loved football, like I said, but at the same time, I kind of knew like baseball was probably where I had the best shot.
Sure.
And just kind of the development that was happening, whatever. And then, so it was probably like that summer before my sophomore year when I was kind of like, all right, like maybe I have a chance to like, you know, go to college. Obviously, it was the first step. And then to think about having the opportunity to play professionally, it was just kind of crazy. Cause like you said, it's that dream you have as a kid, and you always hear about like, oh yeah, like I have this dream, blah, blah, blah. But when you sit back and realize like how crazy it is that you're actually like living out your childhood dream, it's kind of just surreal, and it's just such a cool feeling to think that you actually made it happen. So it's pretty special.
I love that, because my childhood dream was to be on TV, and I came from a really small town. So I would tell people like, I'm going to be on TV someday. Yeah. And they'd be like, okay, little girl, like do your math homework. And I'd be like, yeah.
So exactly.
It's funny to hear that and to hear you say that. But, you know, you were drafted in 2018, and there's a lot of guys from that group that are here now and kind of came up through the minor leagues together. What has it been like to have those guys by your side? You know, it's I don't want to say it's rare, but it doesn't happen all the time that you get drafted with the same guys, and then you're all up here in the big leagues on the same team, like at the same time. It's kind of unique and wonderful, I would think.
Absolutely. It's crazy. And it's just like every time I get asked about it, it's just like so crazy to think about, of like such the group that we have, and just kind of, I think the rare part about it is just like how close we are and like how good of relationships we have with each other. Like, I feel like, I'm not like trying to bash any other teams or anything, I'm just saying like, I feel like a lot of times guys just get caught up in the competition, and you know, you start like maybe rooting against each other or stuff like that. But I feel like for us coming up, at least with the group I've been with, it's just always been like a healthy competition. And it's like, hey, oh, sweet, Lynch went out and threw 7 shutout. Now I'm going to have to go do the same thing, you know, where it's like we just push each other and it's not really like we're trying to ever get at each other or anything. And just the way the game works, you know, with all the transactions and guys moving up and down, I think that's just a crucial part of us having success and just kind of keeping the morale and everything is, you know, we all have guys pulling for each other. And yeah, it's going to be awkward, like, if you get sent down for, like, one of your boys. But at the same time, like, deep down, we're happy for each other, and we know that it's for the better, and, like, we're going to go up there and compete, and whoever got sent down is going to go do what they're doing, and they'll be back before you know it. So it's, like, just one of those things where it's super healthy, I think, mm-hmm. and just pushes everybody to get better, honestly. And I think that's part of the reason why we're seeing some of these guys step up, and, you know, a lot of guys are coming up and having success pretty quickly. So I think it's just a glimpse of the future for sure.
Yeah. It's funny. Brady Singer, in a post game press one time, you know, someone asked him about seeing the other guys do good. And he's like, honestly, when I see, you know, the other starting pitchers do good, like, it makes me be like, yeah, like, I, that's what I got to do. Like, he's bringing right. it. It's like having your teammates back.
Exactly.
And it really, he said something to the fact that it motivates him to bring his best up and be there for his guys even
yeah,
more.
Exactly. And I think you've seen it a few times here where we've gone on some pretty good stretches of guys just like putting pretty good performances back to back to back. And I think it's just part of what he's saying. Like, he sees somebody go out there and it's just kind of a chain reaction. When you see your boys out there doing their thing, it's like, all right, now I got to keep the line moving and basically just keep that chain reaction going. And it's pretty cool to have, like you said, the guys that I've played with coming up pretty much be along that side, and then have guys like Grinke in there to kind of come more of the experience side and just help us navigate that, and just being young players and getting through the experiences that we've had, the ups and downs, to have a guy like that there to kind of hold everybody together and help get us through, it's pretty special for sure.
Yeah. Was there any stop along your minor league journey that you enjoyed the most, whether it be a city? I know Omaha's a great city.
My first year I went to Idaho Falls, which was just like a part of the country that I've like never seen before. So that was like honestly super cool. It's just kind of like the bus rides through that, like Montana and just that kind of area. It was just like really pretty. Double A was nice. There was some cool spots. Like, I really like Wichita. It was like just kind of a cool city, really nice stadium. So there's definitely being able to play in Frisco. That was pretty much going back home. So that was pretty cool as well. And then Triple A, everything's just like, everything just keeps getting nicer, like stadiums and stuff. So it just gets, the atmosphere gets a lot cooler for sure as you go up. But I think, nothing like super crazy, but I think that first year was honestly just really cool, like being in that part of the country that I'd never really seen before. We had like a trip to Jackson Hole we took during the All-Star break, so we were able to explore a little bit and stuff like that, so it was pretty cool.
All right, let's take a quick break here.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So you rotate your facial hair, Bob does, there's a couple other guys that do. What goes into this? I'm so curious because I cannot find a rhyme or reason to what you guys do and how you decide to change it up.
Well, mine goes based off of where I'm at, because when you're in the minors, you can't have a beard. So when I get sent down, I go with the mustache, but then I try and grow the beard back as fast as I can. My wife does not like the mustache, but she doesn't like the mustache, but she likes the mustache more than no facial hair.
Yes.
She says no facial hair, like, she can't do it.
So no.
We stick with the mustache, and then I just try and grow the beard back as fast as I can. But that's the reason for me. I've just always gone with the mustache when I'm in the minors, so I just kind of keep rolling with it. And then I can't do the mustache here. Yeah. Trying to get this back as soon as I can.
Yeah, so you guys don't plan anything around it. You're just just feeling it.
Not really. I don't know what, some of the guys got the goatee going. I think Mizovic has got some, right now. He's got, long mustache with, a short goatee. I don't know. And then Massey's kind of testing out the waters. I don't know. It's just kind of everybody's kind of, we got a lot of young guys that can't really grow it all in yet.
Stop.
So they're trying to figure out what,
says the 25-year-old.
Yeah. They, Matt, the little patchy. Bob, he can't get it in here. He's just got to stick with the goatee if he's going to do it. But I think he only has a mustache right now.
As of yesterday,
he showed up with just a mustache. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure he had the goatee. I don't know.
Yes. And whatever you guys take your picture in, his picture is with the goatee. And I think your picture, you have some kind of weird facial hair too. And pitching and I see it up there, it doesn't look like you now.
Yeah. It's kind of just always rotating. All you right. never know.
I respect it. You can't wear makeup, so you got to change it up some other type of way.
Exactly.
Tell us some about what your mentality is like when you go to the mound or on a pitching, when you are starting that day. For those that don't know, the starting pitcher that day always gets to come in a little bit later. You guys have a certain time where you have early work and things that you have to go through. The schedule is listed on the TV when you guys get into the clubhouse. But the starting day pitcher can come in, I think as late as 3 or something, right?
Yeah, we usually have a scouting meeting. So basically just based off whatever time that is, you can come in. But for me, I try and keep it as normal as possible in the morning and just try not to think about it too much because sometimes I get a little stressed out. I don't know if you guys saw what happened, but whatever, sometimes the stomach gets a little uneasy. So I got to try and keep my mind off of it, eat a normal breakfast. And then kind of once I get to the field, they'll take that first hour or whatever, kind of do the crossword, kind of chill for a little bit. And then once it comes time for the scouting meeting, it's kind of go time. And then I kind of flip the switch and kind of go into game mode and just kind of go through my stretching routine, whatever, roll out, get ready. And then for me, it's just I don't know, I just get pretty amped up. I just super competitive. So whenever I get out there, I feel I'm pretty intense and kind of just in my own zone. I try and just kind of stay in my zone, not interact with too many people, whatever, just kind of keep to myself. But I think a lot of guys give starting pitchers hard times because they're have one day a week that they're just, that's all they care about. And they're just locked in and everybody's you put your AirPods in today because it's your start day, blah, blah, blah. Now you're not going to talk to us, whatever. So some guys give you a hard time, but it's just you get one day every 5 days to do it. So it's a big day for sure. But I think it's super fun. And I just love kind of having that day just to be able to settle in and do your thing and get that routine going and then go out to the mound and do what you do. It's fun.
You mentioned what happened. You got sick on the mound a couple of starts ago. I think a lot of the greats do that. Michael Jordan, when he played with the flu in the 1997.
My brother sent me a list of people that have thrown up in competition afterwards, and it was pretty
good
list.
That's so sweet. Your brother did that?
Yeah, he was the top 10. It was the top 10 greatest athletes that have thrown up during competition or something. It was
my
hilarious.
Sister would have texted me and been oh my God, you're a loser.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. It was funny, but yeah, thankfully, it's not the first time it's happened, so I've kind of been through it before. I just kind of laughed it off. It is what it is. Wish I could have got through that last inning. It was the only thing I really cared about. I wasn't too worried about the puke.
Yeah, no, I remember coming in the locker room and talking to you the next day, and I told you I felt bad because you really wanted to stay out there, and you weren't physically, sick. You just have, tweaky stomach. Yeah, and that you just really wanted to stay out of it. You were more annoyed that you couldn't keep pitching because it's not like you had the flu. It's not like you were sick or anything.
Exactly.
You just have a weaker stomach, which some people do. So I felt bad.
Yeah, it was annoying, but...
But a lot of the greats do it.
Exactly. That's what we'll go with.
Yeah.
I got a little anti-nausea medicine that we're working with now, and everything's been really good. So
I love that.
Hopefully we got it solved.
Great. I love to hear that. Speaking more on, the pitching and going about your routine, for you, what is the most, satisfying way to get someone out? Is it a swing and a miss? Is it, would you rather have, 10 strikeouts or just have, a clean game where you're getting ground balls and being efficient? I know pitch count is so important, so a lot of times you guys want to be efficient.
Yeah, it's there's a good balance. Striking people out is always fun, but sometimes it takes a lot of pitches, if you get a lot of foul balls or going deep in counts. I think for me, it's just, I don't really care how I get them out. As quick as possible, it just... Efficient outs are the best, but striking out people's fun. That's probably the most satisfying, striking people out. It doesn't get better than that, or a big double play with the bases loaded or something. That's That's always awesome too. Or like one of my favorites is when there's like a base hit, guy tries to stretch it into a double and the outfielder throws him out. That might be the most satisfying because you go from like, I just gave up to hit to like, let's go. Yeah. There's nobody on now.
When you got like Michael A. Taylor making like an over the
exactly. Watching
the fence
him
grab.
Track balls down out there is just insane.
When someone does that, do you like, I don't know, give them an extra beer like later on in the evening?
I need to give them a tip at the end of the year.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah. Especially, because there's no telling how many doubles and stuff he saved out there just running all over the place. It's impressive.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely if something crazy happens, you should give him a beer or something for sure.
I've always wanted to know, when you guys have a visit to the mound, and I know visits are strategic. Sometimes Cal goes out there. Sometimes Skip goes out there. Sometimes it's just Salvi going out there. What do you guys talk about? Like, and you know, don't give us all the trade secrets. We can't do that.
Yeah,
but
yeah. It's usually, it depends on the situation. Like most of the time it's just kind of give you a break. Like if you've given up, a couple runs, you know, given up a few hits, like, hey, we're just coming out to give you a breather. Like, this is what, maybe talk about the guy that's coming up. This is how we need to attack him, blah, blah, blah. It's usually pretty positive, like, unless sometimes it's not positive, depending on what you're doing out there. But for the most time, for the most part, it's like strategy, talking about the guy that's coming up or what we need to do to get out of a certain situation, or if they, especially like if they bring in a pinch hitter, like they'll come out because we may not have really talked about that guy before the game. So just come out and mainly talk strategy. And then when Skip comes out there, it's usually your sign you're going out. But for the most part, it's usually pretty positive and just kind of strategic.
Have you ever said something and forgot to use your glove to cover your mouth and been like, oh, crap, and then had to go in and like, because I know you guys do that, but sometimes I see people and they're like talking.
I think it just depends what you're talking about. Yeah. But yeah, for the most part, it's just, you probably don't really need to cover your mouth.
I never thought so. I'm like, who's going to read their lips from
everybody
this far
else
away?
Does it. So everybody's just like, yeah, I don't know if they think they're watching like the live feed and they're going to be like, hey, the curveball coming first pitch. I don't know. But yeah, it's definitely a funny thing that everybody just covers their mouth.
Yeah.
Probably unnecessary.
So tell us what it's been like adjusting to playing with PitchCom this year.
I like it. I think it just makes things more simple and you don't have to worry about four sets of signs or whatever with runners on second base. I think that's the biggest part is when you get base runners on, you can just, you don't have to worry about them stealing signs or anything really. But like when we have nobody on, usually we'll just go with the fingers anyways because it's just a little quicker, but I think it's pretty cool, and like you can literally do everything through there. Like you can say like I want to chase pitch or pick off whatever. So I think it's pretty cool, and I think it may or may not help things speed up a little bit. I don't know, but we'll see.
Yet to be seen.
Yeah. Yet to be seen. But I like it. I think it makes things easier just communication wise, and then just like I said with runners on, I think it helps the most for sure.
Yeah. I want to talk more about Salvi and Zach and what's it been like working with them. Do you have a moment in your time with Salvi that stuck out to you where you were just like, oh, this is why this guy's the best?
I remember a play actually. I think it was my game against Baltimore earlier this year, and it was like a swinging bunt or something, and he made just like an unreal play on it, and he like pointed to the gold plate on his chest protector, and I thought that was like the most BA thing I've ever seen. I was like, that's sweet. That's why he's the freaking best.
Salvi can
like,
do that.
Yeah, look at the gold right here. He was like, that's why I got it. That was probably like one of the moments I was like, that was pretty cool. And it was an unreal play. But I think just having him back there, I think the biggest thing for me, obviously everybody knows how good he is defensively and how well he hits, but I think just the knowledge and the preparation that he has coming into the game just makes me feel way more prepared going out to the mound, just knowing how prepared he is as well. It just kind of makes you feel more confident in the game plan and know that he's done his part and I've done my part, and it makes you feel pretty confident going out into the game just knowing that he's put in the work and just the knowledge that he has just from experience. It's just you can't make up for anything like that without experience really.
Yeah.
So it's just like super special to have a guy like that kind of as the captain, you know.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, when it comes to Zach, I know he's, you know, he's not going to talk your ear off or talk much at all, but you can really you know, watch him go out about his business and how he goes about, you know, it in the clubhouse. Is there anything you've taken from him? He's so, like, from what I've like learned and saw of him, he's like very methodical and like he dissects like all everything in his head.
He just has like a very such an in-depth I think like perspective of the game, and it's just so unique. Just with his preparation, and like if you see him, like you'll today starting, you'll see him like walking around and he's like looking around the field before the game, like he's never been here. Yeah, like he's never been here, like checking the wind, like, oh, what's it doing today? Like, how's it playing today? Like, it's like he's going up to a golf course, like, how's it playing today? You know, like, I don't know. But he just has such an in-depth perspective, and just his, the way he goes about his scouting and stuff is just so in-depth. And I mean, it's also part of experience too. You know, he's thrown against a lot of these teams and guys for a long time now, but obviously there's new guys always coming in and out, so it's always changing. But I think just the way he goes about his business is just so professional, and obviously I'm sure with that experience, like, you're going to have a pretty solid routine by now, I'm sure. And just, but I think it also goes to show, like, he's been doing it for so long and he still is so in depth, you know. Like, you think maybe a guy who's done it for 15 years, like, oh yeah, I've won a few Cy Youngs, whatever, I kind of got this,
whatever.
But but he is so just, I mean, never a day off. He's so just lives and breathes baseball. It's just super cool to watch, and just kind of try and take everything you can and just watch him go about his business. And just try and take every little thing you can whenever, like you said, whether it's in the dugout, just having a little conversation, or in the bullpen, just watching him throw some bullpens is just like, this is crazy to watch. He just doesn't miss a spot. It's just like, this is crazy.
This is unreal.
But, yeah, it is just kind of unreal, but pretty cool.
Let's pause for a word from our sponsors.
I would love to know what you like to do on your off days. I would assume you like to spend time with your wife, because there's only a certain amount of time you guys get together. So what do you guys like to do together on those days?
We're pretty chill for the most part. We may go shopping or whatever, over to the plaza. Last off day, we actually went and did an escape room together.
Oh my God.
Us two, which is the first time we've ever done it. Like, we usually go with like friends, whatever. And it actually went pretty well. We were surprised. We worked together pretty well. We made it out, so that was impressive. But yeah, we do like escape rooms. We just kind of, whatever. We went to the Chiefs game, that preseason game that night. So usually try and find something to do. I think like tomorrow we're off. We're going to try and go, I think, Luke Bryan and like, Riley Green are in town tomorrow night. So I think we're going to try and go to the concert. So just usually try and probably hang out like for most of the day, and then try and go get a nice dinner or whatever. Just kind of relax, since we're always go, go, go for the most part.
I would love to know what the best golf game you ever like played was. You said you're not that good, but it does sound like you're pretty good. So like, is there a course, first of all, you love, and what's like the best golf game you've ever played?
I play, my wife's parents are members at a course in Prosper, Texas, which is like right north of Dallas. So I play up there a lot. There's actually like a group of his friends that I started playing with kind of like during the COVID stuff and during the off season. So it's like me and a bunch of 40, 50-year-old men, and we just have a blast out there on Wednesday mornings. So I play out there quite a bit. The best game I actually shot was on my birthday this past year.
Really?
Yeah, I shot a 75.
Is that good?
And that's like pretty good, but that was like very rare. Like, I'm usually like mid-80s, which isn't bad. It's like pretty decent, but 75 was like very rare. I might not ever do it again, but it was cool for that day.
What contributed, do you think?
I was just locked in. It's just one of those days. I just was hitting my drives in the fairway. The next shot was on the green, and then I was like two putting for par, and it was just keeping the ball. My issue is usually keeping the ball in play, like off the tee box. Usually my irons are decent, but sometimes I spray the driver. It's kind of like my fastball.
Oh my gosh, you are speaking another language. I have no clue what you're saying right now. The driver, the green, the spraying.
You know what a driver is.
I mean, I do, but like you're talking about doing all these things.
Like, I spray the ball, like it goes, I don't know where it's going to go. No telling. But that day I had it. You know what the fairway is?
Yeah, that's where the grass is short.
That's where you want to hit it.
Yeah.
I was hitting it in the fairway, and yeah, that was the best day. But I, like I said, I could never shoot a 75 again. Y'all never know.
Well, let's not.
I hope it does happen, because it was pretty fun. Yeah. I just needed to get more consistent.
Yes.
It's a lot like pitching, honestly.
Yes, honestly. I believe that 100%. Now, do you think that you could bat if you had to? It's probably been a while.
I think my best bet would be to get a bunt down, maybe.
Really?
But I don't think I'm not going to be too eager to jump in the box against some
of
these
guys.
You
don't think so?
No. I don't really want any part of like Jacob DeGrom throwing 100.
Oh yeah, no one does that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd be pretty, I feel like I might be able to put it in play.
Okay.
Depending on who it is. I'd probably be lucky, but I haven't had seen a live pitch probably since my senior year of high school.
Okay.
Which was 2016. I don't know.
If you had to like take, like if you were batting against one of our position players,
yeah, that's what I was gonna say. I would love to get. I could get in that bat off a position player, not Michael Taylor.
I saw
him throw 94. I don't know. Maybe Dozier had a little like cutter action.
Yes, he did.
Slide registered as a slider, so maybe it was.
I was noticing that too. I'm like, is he really throwing six sliders in a row?
He was just kind of like trying to cut it a little bit. It worked.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you saw that Cody Clemens kid strike out Otani the other night. That was pretty funny.
That was hilarious.
It's just like so crazy to me that that can happen.
I know.
It's just like some guy can come in and strike out one of the best hitters in the league.
I know. A position player too.
Yeah, like I tried to do that and I ended up over the fence.
Yeah.
Like I'm supposed to be the one that can strike him out.
But baseball's so funny.
Baseball.
Yeah, it's so funny like that.
The craziest stuff can happen.
And the mental aspect of it I would think is so tough because one day you got your best stuff and you like no one's touching you and the next day for some reason it just doesn't feel as good. How do you
weird.
Like monitor that mental aspect?
That's what like we talk sometimes how it's like we do the same thing like it's not like we're trying to do anything different.
Yeah.
Like we're literally trying to do the same thing every time we go out there and you can get just such different results. Like one day you just have no idea where the ball is going and you're like, what is going on?
Like,
I was supposed to go right where I wanted to. Like what's happening?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just like, I don't know really. It's just such a unique game and there's just so many ebbs and flows and ups and downs, failure. It's like, it is a game of failure. So it's like you said, it's just, you have to be tough mentally just to be able to get through the ups and downs and the adversity, and it's such a long season compared to any other sport. It's just very unique, but it's awesome.
Do you take special care of your pitching arm? Like, you know what I mean? Like if you're like, have your arm around your wife and you're like, arm's falling asleep. Gotta take care of it.
We have a problem because she always sleeps like closest to the, wherever the bathroom is.
Yes.
Like she sleeps on that side of the bed and in our apartment. It's like on my right side, so I can't ever like put my arm around her. And like, and if I do, I'll last like 2 minutes. I'll be like, hey, my whole arm, it's falling asleep. So
we can't do this.
We're gonna have to get it out. But yeah, no, that's pretty much like the only thing. I try not to like sleep on it and stuff because there's been a few times where I'll wake up, especially if it's like the day I pitch and I wake up and my arm's like stuck underneath me and it's completely asleep and I'm like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to pitch today. Like I can't straighten it out and then it comes back to life and it's okay, but. It's like the same feeling every time. I'm like, oh no.
Right? This is how it ends.
Yeah.
Have you seen Rookie of the Year?
End.
This is how it changes.
Exactly.
It's
exactly.
funny because I was coming to the elevator and Quas was getting in the elevator and he went to put his hand in to like keep it for me. And I was like, don't do that.
Crush his hand.
Yeah. And he's like, it was my other hand.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
thank goodness.
We don't need that on the injury report.
Exactly.
All right. We are going to do some lightning round questions to end things. And I'm curious to hear your thoughts on these. What is the most accurate baseball movie, and do you like it? Like, what's your favorite baseball movie? How accurate do you think it is? What's your opinion on that?
I mean, I like Sandlot. It's just a classic.
Yeah.
Like, just little kids, like, playing baseball. I feel like that's kind of, like, growing up as a kid. That would have been so awesome.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. There's a lot of good... I used to really like The Rookie with, what's his name?
Dennis Quaid?
Quaid.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's him.
Yeah.
He was, like, a pitcher, and he was, like... was like working at home and all of a sudden I used to like that movie. I don't know. There's too many good ones, but I think Sandlot, like it's the most basic, but classic.
Let's hear a common misconception about people from Texas.
About people from Texas?
Yeah.
We're not all country.
Okay.
Everybody thinks like, oh, you don't have an accent. You're from Texas.
That's so true. You really don't.
I'm from Dallas. Like I didn't grow up. Yeah. It's just, I think everybody thinks like from Texas, you're like, oh, howdy, like cowboy.
Howdy.
But, I mean, yeah, there are a lot of those people, but not everybody.
What is your most unpopular food take or strange food take?
I don't like sushi.
Okay.
I feel like that's not super like uncommon, but so many people do like sushi. Like guys are like, you want to go get sushi? I'm like, I've gotten better actually, but I'm trying to think of something that like I don't like that everybody likes. I don't know. I'm kind of a little picky, but mainly just like seafood and some veggies I don't like.
Okay. Not a veggie guy, not a seafood guy.
I do like some veggies, but like tomatoes, onions, pickles, everything like on a burger I don't eat, and everybody always gives me a hard time about that.
Just the bread and the burger?
I like I'll do the lettuce.
Okay. Got a little crunch in there.
Yeah.
We love to hear that. What kind of music do you like to listen to get yourself in the zone?
In the zone, I like a lot of music, but like if I'm trying to get in the zone, it's usually some kind of like EDM or like a big booty mix or something like that. That's not like inappropriate for the kids out there. It's just the name of like it's like a kind of a mashup kind of thing. Bunch of songs put together. But like if I'm just driving, it's usually country or just like not rap, but like maybe like Post Malone or something, like just good vibes. But nothing like hard rap or and no heavy metal or anything like that.
Tell us what your guilty pleasure TV show is.
Guilty pleasure TV show. Outer Banks.
Wow. Did your wife drag you into that?
No, she hates it.
Oh, wow.
She hates it. Yeah, that's why it's my guilty pleasure. You can ask Bob about that one, too.
Bob's into it, too?
Yeah, we're big on the Outer Banks train.
Yeah. I agree. Great
show. Excited for the new season.
Same.
Yeah.
Riveting.
But, yeah, my wife, she thinks it's embarrassing.
Oh, wow.
It's all right. I'll wear it. She won't watch with me, so I got to watch with Bob.
Okay. At least you didn't say, like, The Bachelor or, like, Real Housewives or something.
No, I used to watch The Bachelor, but haven't watched it in a few seasons.
You're not missing much. It's gone downhill.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
Yeah.
I'm a big, like, my wife also makes fun of me because I'm into the big, like, singing shows.
Oh, like American Idol,
The Voice. I always like those.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
All right.
Outer Banks and singing shows.
All right. Now, have you ever heard someone yell something from the crowd? And if you have, what's been the best thing that you've ever heard yelled from the crowd? Even if it was when you were in the dugout, you weren't pitching.
Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay.
Bobby is at the plate. And he had like, he was like 0 for 2 or 0 for 3 or something. And some guy said something to the fact of like, he won like the Gatorade National Player of the Year, and he screamed something about like Gatorade National Player of the Year, more like Powerade National Player of the Year or something. And everybody in the dugout just like started dying laughing because it was like pretty quiet. This guy's just screaming out of nowhere, and we were like, that was pretty good. I like that one. That one got a good laugh out of everybody.
Did Bob laugh too?
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. I can't really think of anything like when I'm out there, I can't really hear if people are yelling at me, which I'm sure they are. But actually in New York this year when I was warming up before the game, one of the guys said that they were going to get me. They were like, we're going to get you sit down today. And I got optioned the next day.
So oh, my gosh.
Like, but that one was kind of.
Kind of hurt a little.
Yeah, kind of. That one struck deep.
Kind of stung.
No, it was just kind of funny. I kind of laughed it off. A couple days later, I was like, it's kind of funny that this guy said that before the game. And then next day it happened.
But that's the best thing you can do, though, honestly.
There's so many punches. Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing you can do.
Nobody. After a good game or a bad game, who is the first person you call or want to talk to?
My wife.
Okay.
Whether I'm on the road, she's not there, I'll call her first and then call my parents after that. But yeah, usually she's here, so I'll just go like give her a hug in the wife's room before the media comes in, whatever, and say what's up. So yeah, usually wife and then I'll call the parents for sure.
Good answers.
Yep.
We love it. Anything else you want to tell us before we let you go?
I don't know. I don't really have like anything super exciting.
Well, then we'll just thank you for being here, for hanging out with
us.
I
had a blast.
Good.
Thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun.
Good. Well, we're glad to hear it.
I hope the people enjoy it.
I think they will. I think they'll love it. Perfect. Thank you so much, Jonathan Heasley, for being our guest today. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. We are glad to have you here.